you know, civil guilt, we talked about theological guilt, we talked about psychological guilt, and then we talked about true guilt. And as we continue on our thought on forgiveness, listen, folks, God is never going to pour down his most wonderful blessings that he's just waiting to give us till we learn how to forgive ourselves and forgive one another as he has forgiven us. And so if you'll join me this morning, stand one more time as we honor God by the reading of his precious holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you will look in Romans chapter 3, again, verse 22 through verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 through verse 24. Verse 22, again, the Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for forgiveness. We're so thankful, Lord, for your mercy. And Lord, I pray that we will let the world see and as an example to them and to one another that we know that you do forgive, because we extend that same forgiveness that you give us to our fellow man, lost or saved. God, help us to be free of guilt and experience for ourselves to forgive and to be forgiven. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone in our midst today doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, the first step, Lord, is that they must realize that if they'll just put their faith and trust in you, that you already paid the price for their sin, and they are forgiven if they accept your free gift. And Lord, for that Christian that has unconfessed sins in their lives, Lord, it's about time they got victory over them. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to your people as only you can. And Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into this service, that you'll have your will and way this hour. And Lord, that when it's all said and done, you would be so pleased with what you have done. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, of course, we talked about guilt and forgiveness in Sunday school. And this morning, we're going to talk about experiencing and giving forgiveness. Until we get rid of all the guilt and have a proper understanding of God's forgiveness, we will never, never learn to forgive others. So this morning we're going to learn how to experience forgiveness ourselves and how to forgive others. Experiencing and giving forgiveness is one of the greatest needs of those who are hurting and need counseling and help. When I have worked through marriage problems with couples, giving forgiveness, one of the biggest issues, so many times, you know, couples keep a mental list. Folks, listen, if you got a whole list of what he did and what she did 6 years ago, shame on you. You're never going to get victory. You know, don't hold each other hostage. You know, the wonderful thing is, you know, something that God showed me a long time ago. You know, the biggest struggle that married couples have is who's right and who's wrong. Who cares? Who cares? It's not who's right, but what's right. You see, we're working on our eternal relationship. If you're both saved and you're born again believers in Christ, there's not going to be no marriage in heaven. Say amen. You know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so now you have the opportunity to work on your eternal relationship. And that is to forgive one another and to not hold each other hostage and to do what's right and never mind who's right. And so, dear friend, so many times couples keep a mental list of wrongs against the other and they never truly learn to forgive, even though they say they have forgiven. At times, folks have a hard time accepting God's forgiveness for their own sinful ways. It may be the depth of their wickedness and practice of sin so overwhelms a person that he cannot believe that God would forgive him. Hey, listen, friend, I don't care how wicked your sin is today. I don't care how awful it may be. There's no sin that you can commit that God will not forgive you. Thank God for that. And dear friend, I wonder if David felt that way. We see both in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 how David completely dealt with his sin. Now, first of all, this morning, I want to talk about what example do we see in Paul's life. First, let's look at the Apostle Paul. We will look at five of the biographical and autobiographical sketches from Paul's troubled past. You see, and as it seemed to him, his persecuted present. Let's look at Paul's troubled past. Turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 22, if you would. Turn over your Bibles to Acts chapter 22. And let's look at verse 3 through verse 5. Beginning in verse 3, the Bible says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tyrus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And then also let's look at verse 19 and verse 20. Those in verse 19, the Bible says, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. This is his troubled past. And after Paul wrote about his personal background in Acts chapter 22, there in verse 3, in verse 5 he tells us that he was determined to bind, to put into prison those who followed Christ. Also, Paul wrote of his manner of life. So let's first of all look at his conversation. Consider some lessons here. Not one place in Scripture does Paul talk about hating himself. He doesn't say, I'm no good. See how terrible I am? God can't use me. At the same time, you do not read of any pride nor bragging about what he had done, and not glorifying in his past sinfulness. Now let's look at Paul's persecuted present. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, let's look at verse 23 through verse 27. In verse 23, the Bible says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent in death oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I had been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So you see, dear friend, take a look at the list of persecutions and afflictions and trials that Paul had to face. Then look at verse 26 and verse 27 again. Let's look at verse 7 through 11 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want us to see this. And let's take a look at verse 7 through verse 11 together. And in verse 7, the Bible says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest and our mortal flesh." So you see, Paul recounts the things he faced in serving the Lord. Have you thought about the fact that Paul was reaping what he sowed? You cannot outrun, outdo the doctrine of the Bible. What you sow, you reap. And he had sown death, and he had sown suffering, and now he was reaping the same thing. And you see, friend, consider some lessons here. In all of this, there is no malice or desire for revenge. There is no hint of bitterness in his spirit. You don't find any blame shifting or anger with God for the wrong that he had suffered. Instead, there's a hint of his rejoicing in the present struggle by faith. And the privilege for suffering for Christ's sake. See, folks, we Christians don't like suffering. Oh, we want all the glory. But God, don't ask me to suffer now. But always remember, dear Christian, suffering comes before glory. And so, turn with me in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 in your Bibles, please. Turn over to Philippians. Chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto him, unto his death." Now, number two, I want to talk about, how do we handle the wrong against us? How do we handle the wrongs against us? Do we practice keeping a mental list of offenses? Do we feel we have the right to keep the wrongs close to our hearts and mentally dwell on offenses? If anyone has the right to feel bad about the wrongs against him, Paul did. He could have easily felt that God was not fair and did not minister to him in love. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and look with me in verse 13 and verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. Notice with me in verse 13, the Bible says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." So you see, dear friend, here gives us a list of things that we need to practice and to put into our lives. It takes conscious effort and work to apply this to your daily life. So how do you handle wrongs? Consider these principles. Life will be full of wrongs. Then, because life is not fair, God is far, far more concerned about building our godly lives than he is about our circumstances. He wants to use our circumstances to build us. And everything we are part of the problem or part of the solution. We need to realize this. So ask yourself today, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? That means for almost everything that touches us, we are partly responsible. Now, we may not be responsible for the wrongs and the offenses or the actions against us, but we are responsible for our reactions. Do we rationalize and play the blame game? What can we do to keep from having a list of mental wrongs done to us? What can we do to be spared from the bondage of holding on to wrongs? What are some biblical answers to wrongs committed against us? What are some biblical answers to some wrongs committed against us? Remember, God was there, a witness, a planner of my good. Now, write down what you find. This is an exercise for yourself. Make a note, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And I want you to write down what you find for your own personal growth. About the subject of God, the planner of your good. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Go back to the book of Romans chapter 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 29. Notice in verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So you see, and read it and think about how God forgave you. Look at Colossians 3, verse 13. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13 together. Verse 13, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How many today are thankful that Christ forgave you? Amen. Are you grateful enough to give it to somebody else? it's not easy. If it was, we'd all be doing it, amen? Every day, refuse to carry a grudge, reject and resist, holding on to wrongs, rehearse, rethink about forgiveness to you. Thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his forgiveness. I want you to see this. Turn to Psalms 103 with me in your Bibles this morning. If you would please turn to Psalms 103. And now notice here in Psalms 103, verse 12 with me. Notice in verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 44. I wanted to say with that verse there in Psalms that the difference between us and God is this. See, we're human. And we're not God. We can't forget sin from far as the east from the west. It'd be great if we could, amen? But the thing is this. The thing is that what happens is you make a decision to forgive somebody, and it may take a little longer for your feelings and emotions to catch up with that decision. But the thing is that once you finally forgive somebody, you don't keep a mental list, you know. You free them. And when you do that, and you forgive them, you know, it frees you. And so the purpose of forgiveness is not just to forgive the other person, but to free you of guilt and free you of all the wrong and carrying a mental list, you see. We're not God. So the thing is that now when you look at that person or you talk to that person, you no longer harbor hard feelings or bad feelings or all the emotions that go with it because you've forgiven them. See, that's what forgiveness does for us. And that's why it's so important for us. Isaiah chapter 44, look at verse 22 with me, please. In verse 22 it says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. If you redeem, let the redeemed say so. Amen. Thank the Lord. So consider how serious it was not to be forgiving in the story of Matthew chapter 18. I want you to, I'll paraphrase this. In chapter 18, we must reject a feeling based on walk. We must not allow our feelings to guide us. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But instead, we must build our life on biblical truth, biblical doctrine, and not on past hurtful experiences. It will make a difference if we actively express love. Now, Matthew 5 is a great one. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and verse 45. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 44 and 45. Notice in verse 44, the Bible says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So you see there, dear friend, as we see what the Lord says about this and how we are to pray for our enemies, then we need to realize that it will make us, we will make the right choices to forgive. Will we use reminders so we will forgive and relearn forgiveness? And then consider some important truths about forgiveness. There will be joy and blessing from giving forgiveness. We will find ourselves free from holding on to a mental list of wrongs. If we don't forgive others, we won't have any good alternatives to love and forgiveness toward others. Oh, dear friend, listen. We will probably experience a slow death of healthy emotions. We will have a life marked by repression, by bitterness. We will experience emotional, physical, spiritual, mental pain and sickness. Forgiveness means that we trust God to be all the vengeance that we'll ever need. You see, what is God going to do in your heart? God's got the rest of eternity to make things even, by the way. Here we're taught that they should allow somebody else to be wrathful or angry without trying to settle the score. We are to give it to God. Give it to God and let him handle our case for us. It isn't up to us to understand the wrongs and the offenses that may have been committed against us, but to believe that God is at work for our best. I would challenge you to read Psalm 119, verse 61 through 63. Let's take a quick look at that. Go to Psalm 119 real quick. And when you go home, I'd like for you to study this a little bit. Psalm 119. Look at verse 61 through 63. Notice in verse 61, the Bible says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, But I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Oh, help us to be merciful to one another. You see, I think that you'll notice several things about giving to God what we can't change. You know, we spend our lives trying to... Now, wives, I know you've been working for 50 years trying to change your husband. Is it working? No way. See, God promised to change you. He didn't promise to change him. And remember that David didn't seek revenge when Saul was hunting to kill him. David gave the trial to God to care for him. What a lesson for us today. And also, dear friend, in closing this morning, let me say this. It may take time for the feelings of forgiveness to catch up with your act of forgiveness. The actions of giving forgiveness will not fully free us from the emotions that we experience from the hurts that we might have received. Healing takes time. What does it mean to truly forgive? True forgiveness will involve action, where we totally release that person from the wrong that we have received from their hand. Then it involves attitude, because we stop being resentful toward the person at whose hand we were hurt, you see. And in so doing that, you know, and obeying the Lord in doing such a thing, what example do we see in Paul's life? How do we handle the wrongs against us? And what are some biblical answers to wrongs committed against us? This is experiencing and giving forgiveness, folks. This morning we got rid of the guilt, and we talked about all the kinds of guilt and forgiveness. Now we talked about experiencing forgiveness and giving forgiveness. You won't want to miss tonight, which is to forgive or not to forgive. That's the question. Let's please stand. Every head bowed, please, and every eyes closed, and no one looking around. You know, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter who's here or who's not. Don't worry about them. You just obey God. And the Holy Spirit's talking to you and speaking to your heart today. Number one, if you've never been saved and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, He wants to forgive you. And He paid for your sin in full. And all you have to do is accept it. If you're here today, there'll be someone down front here. And take a Bible and the Word of God and show you from the Scriptures how you too can have eternal life. And then, dear Christian, do you want to live a victorious life or a defeated life? Do you want to get victory over anger and all those emotions and lack of forgiveness? Don't you think it's about time you set that person free and forgive as you have been forgiven? Lord Jesus, we sure do love you. And God, we need your help. We are so proud, and our pride hinders us and gets us in our way. It gets in our way, Lord. Help us today to humble ourselves before you. And Lord, if there's anyone in this place that have heart feeling toward anybody, before they leave this building today, I pray, Lord, they'll go to that person and make things right. Lord, the Spirit of God cannot do a work in our lives and in our hearts unless we do this. God, please speak to your people and deal with your people as only you can. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen.
Two things necessary to the invitation this morning. One's time and one's Jonah. Remember, Jonah went against his will to Nineveh. And toward the end, I guess, of his preaching there was a revival in Nineveh. And Jonah went out and sulked under a gourd. And he said, God, I knew you'd do this. Jonah didn't want to go that these people would experience forgiveness because they hated themselves. And there are people who today are so concerned that if they forgive someone who has wronged them, that maybe God will save them and they won't get what you and I believe is their due. Praise God if they get saved. That's what the initial forgiveness was all about. It would bring them that much closer. But the other one is time that you have forgiven someone, but the time between having forgiven someone when you have that openness within your heart once again, what are you doing with the time? It's what you do during, I don't know if you're going to touch on that tonight or not, but during that time is so important. What you do in that period of time will make all the difference as to whether you have the clarity of heart or the clearness of heart, the clearness of guilt, and actually able to turn it over to the Lord. We'd like to talk with you about that during the invitation time. After following the invitation time, we will talk with you. Meet with us if you're having a problem with that. Or just let me know, say, Pastor, we need to get together this week and talk about it more. But if God's spoken to your heart as we sing that song this morning, would you come? But let's bow our heads and our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you for this time we can be together, gathered around your throne of grace to hear a message that is so, so very important. Lord, we have unsaved neighbors, unsaved co-workers, maybe even unsaved family members who we, Lord, at this very moment hold a grudge. Oh, Lord, we haven't really forgiven them. Lord, we've gone through the mechanical motions of it, but, Lord, we have never really, in the depth of our heart, let go. And, Father, this morning, may this be the day that we do so. Father, it may be that there is a brother or sister in the Lord that, Lord, we haven't completely and fully forgiven their trespasses against us. And Lord, may this be the day that we really truly bring it before your throne and purpose in our hearts that we're just not going to dismiss it very lightly. We're going to take it very seriously. And Lord, let you guide and direct us in this time between the forgiven to forgiveness. And Father, we'll give you that praise. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed before we sing the song this morning. If God has spoken to your heart about an individual or someone at work or someone in the body of Christ, it matters not. But you need to come to the throne this morning, to the altar, and say, Lord, I want to lay it here. And Lord, I want to begin to practice now all the things that are necessary for that clearness, for that clarity, and for that openness once again. On that first stanza, let's turn in the hymnals to
305.
305. I believe it's Jesus I Come. Is that what it says?
I Am Coming.
I Am Coming, yes. I Am Coming. 305 in the hymnals. I hate to belabor an invitation. So if God's spoken to your heart and you need to deal with it this morning, don't just sit there and fight with him and walk out of here with that same burden, that same chain and ball that you came in here with. God's giving you an opportunity this morning to bring that chain and ball and put it right here. Leave it at the altar. And then to walk away, leaving it here in the hands of the Lord. On that first stanza that God's spoken to you, would you just step right out on number 305?
I hear thy welcome, Lord.
Would you come this morning? God's spoken to you today. God has spoken. Coming this morning, God spoke to you. God wants you to step out this morning. God wants to work in your heart. He wants you to know that freedom that he wants to give you today. But if you don't come, it's not going to happen today. Would you come this morning? Maybe it's in your marriage. You've been holding a grudge against a husband, or you've been holding a grudge against your wife. You've been holding a grudge against another family member, a brother and a sister this morning. And you need to bring it this morning and bring it to the Lord and to leave it there today. Are you coming this morning? God's calling you. God wants you to come meet with him this morning. Would you come? Let him speak to your heart today.
Lord Jesus, we realize that, you know, the flesh can be so strong.
Jesus calls me on to burden.
bless you forever.
Invitation never ends. It's ongoing. If there has been a problem of letting go of a hurt or wrong, see me after the service and say, Pastor, I need to sit down with you. Ladies, I need to sit down with my wife and myself. We'll be glad to give you some steps that need to take place so that you can come to that place of sweet release. Once and for all. And it's a wonderful process. And there's no greater joy than to know that that forgiveness has run its course. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for those who have responded. I'm sure there are even those who responded in their own heart this morning. Lord, having been reminded of something that, Lord, who knows what tomorrow, next week might hold. It might be that someone's going to say something or do something. That, Lord, we need to practice what we've heard today, put into practice into our own personal lives. And, Lord, to not be, as was Jonah, devastated because he would rather have seen the Ninevites go to a Christless eternity than to find the forgiveness of God. Lord, help us today to realize that vengeance is not something to be relished. But, Lord, even if we can spare the worst of our enemies, the vengeance of the Lord through salvation. And Father, may that be our heart's desire today. May we not be so selfish, but rather selfless in reaching out to others and meeting those needs. And Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Now, Father, dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Part 3 tonight.
Amen.
Plain to be.
Amen.
Pardon?
Amen. Well, before we, part 3 tonight. We're all hungry. No, I'm just kidding. No. Before we go downstairs, we would ask the Brother Randy's like, he's at the door. He's on the front.
He's out.
He's like, I'm going. Hurry.